Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, a new week, August 19th. We have a very exciting show for you today. I hope everybody had a great weekend. We had perfect weather. I'm joined this morning. You should check us online on Facebook, of course. I'm joined by someone who was a guest here last week. And she seemed to fit in so well that I asked her to come back and co-host with me today.
Yeah.
So, Ormesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Thank you. And you're all pinky and everything today?
That's how I feel. I woke up and I was like, I should wear pink, all pink.
Like think pink, right? Are you wearing all pink? Do you have something else pink on you? It's just a jacket.
It's just a state of mind.
Oh, okay. A pink state of mind.
A pink state of mind.
Like there a New York state of mind or
there
something.
We go.
I see. Cool.
There we go.
So, and then we have a couple of exciting guests in the studio. So if you want to check us out on Facebook, go to our page, LA Talk Radio on Facebook. And, of course, you'll catch us there. Otherwise, you can stay on audio, and we love you just as much. So, Or, a little bit about you. We'll recap in case somebody didn't hear.
Yes.
But you're here from Israel. How long have you been here?
I've been here for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
I moved here from Tel Aviv, Israel.
Uh-huh.
I'm a stand-up comic.
Uh-huh. Were you a stand-up comic in Israel too, or only when you came here?
No. So I had a totally different occupation. I was in online gaming. I did the tech stuff.
Really?
My parents very proud. And then one day, you know, I woke up and I was like, well, what is life about? And I understood that in all my jobs, the part I enjoyed most is making people laugh and smile and have a good time.
Wow. So you decided to make a career out of it.
So I decided. So here I am.
Wow. So, I mean, that's pretty scary, right? Because it's a very competitive field.
Yes.
I know we have so many comedians here and they all say it's a cutthroat thing. And then for women, it's harder, blah,
yes.
blah, blah.
Yes.
The whole thing. Do you feel it? That it's harder for a woman?
Yes. Well, it's still a man-dominated industry. There's much more male comics than females. And females, there's still the stigmas of, like, women aren't funny and or pretty women aren't funny or in general women aren't funny. So, but I like a challenge, and I think we have this generation and older generation have some very strong women, and we have a lot to say, and I think it's good. It's good. There's a space for it.
Right. No, and I mean, I don't see that. I see so many female comedians around, so I don't understand that, but maybe there's a million other men to every woman, so
yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
You know. It just means there's a lot of comedians, a lot of people thinking they're funny.
But I think that, you know, as long as you keep your authenticity, that's what's most important. Just be who you are. It doesn't really matter if you're a guy or a girl. If you like to make people laugh and they laugh, then they're going to like you. They won't care what gender you are.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So you wanted to be funny, or you felt you were funny anyway, and you wanted to do it for a living. So that's good. Now, do you write your own stuff, your own jokes, your own material?
Yes, I write my own material.
How do you do that? Do you sit at home and just think of something, or is it something that strikes you as you do something else, and then you go, you know what, I'll write it down? Or
I feel like it's just a cognitive choice to look at the silly side of life, at the funny side of life, and it helped me heal a lot of inner pains. And, you know, comedy heals pain and heals people's, you know, sadness and frustration. And just general life, you know, things that they have to deal with every day. It could be from the smallest thing to, I don't know, heartbreak or something like that. When you joke about it, you kind of heal it.
Right.
So in every situation, you know, I take these pink glasses and I choose to see, okay, what's really funny in that situation, you know, what's the humor in this?
I see. So you're being conscious about what's going on,
Yeah.
And you pick up on things, aware
yeah.
of what's going on.
Yeah, and you got to know cool. how to laugh at yourself, you know. You know, sometimes you're an idiot, you know.
Okay.
and you need to laugh about it, because we all sometimes, you know, are foolish. You make mm-hmm. foolish things, foolish
That's
choices.
That's true. And you have some self-deprecating comedy and stuff. You make fun of yourself
definitely,
too, right?
Definitely.
So, very cool. Now, do you have any siblings?
Yes.
Brothers, sisters?
I have two amazing, well, I have actually four brothers and sisters.
Really?
Two sisters are from my mother. Mm. We're three sisters. They're all creatives. The one is a fashion designer in Paris. The other one is here with me. She's an actress and a director. Very talented.
Wow.
And my father got remarried. So I have a baby brother. He's 2 years old. Shout out to Leroy. I love you. Your big sister loves you. And Eden, which is she's six. She's amazing. And sometimes I feel like we act the same, even though she's six.
Really?
And so much older.
Yeah. So it's nice, you know. I mean, so you're surrounded by family and stuff. Obviously, all of you are creative because you're... okay, so you said you had two sisters and then... Two other sisters or brothers? Is there any brothers?
A sister and a brother. So okay. I've got one brother. My father got the son.
Right.
Got
he finally
son
got a son.
After
huh?
after four daughters. Not that it's, you know, he always says that he enjoys it because daughters spoil you, you know.
Exactly. Can you imagine growing up with so many daughters at home? I mean, my God, they really make you feel good about yourself, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm glad you're here. And
thank you for having me, by the way.
Of course. Tell people where they can find you if they want to see. I mean, you're on YouTube and everywhere.
Yes.
As far as comedy. And
so on YouTube, you can just click Google or MASH Comedy, or is my first name. MASH is my last name, like mashed potatoes.
Right.
So or MASH Comedy in Google. And on Instagram is I'm or MASH. I'm ormash. And it's a picture of a rabbit holding a mic.
I see. Why rabbit?
I don't know. Maybe it's my spirit animal. I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah,
well, talking about spirits and everything, we probably should get to our guests now.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be talking about a lot of spiritual stuff. I mean, probably more spirituality in this room than has been in 11 years, because this woman seems to be very interesting and full of wealth of knowledge and stuff that I was excited to have you. So welcome to the show. We're joined by Selene Caloni Williams. Welcome to the show. Get
ciao,
closer to the
ciao
mic.
Ciao, everybody. Hi. Sorry.
Hi, I'm, ciao. No, it's fine. You're
I come from Italy. Actually, I come from Switzerland, the Italian part of Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not an English native speaker, as you
right.
can as you can probably see.
But your English is amazing. No, I mean,
oh,
look,
you.
As long as you can communicate stuff. I mean, you wrote a book in English. And,
yes,
and I'm sure more than just this book, the stuff you've written.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the thing is this, is that sometimes you learn a language and you can write it and read it, but the speaking is not as flowing as the rest of it. But it doesn't mean that you don't speak the language and understand every nuance of it and everything, you
of
know?
Of course, and what it matters is beyond the words,
right.
always.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Think.
And you brought someone with you, your son.
Yes, my son.
Please introduce him to us. Get
yes.
closer to the mic.
Hi there. Hi. I was just meant to be the driver for yeah. my mom, and then I ended up being here, so carpe diem.
Very cool. I see you've learned English with the British accent, right?
Yes, because I'm currently a student at Cambridge.
Oh,
in
really?
England. Yes, yes. I've just finished my bachelor's, and I'm about to start my master's.
Really?
Yes.
In what?
I've studied Russian and classics,
uh-huh.
and now I'm going on to study anthropology, social anthropology.
Wow!
Russian.
Yeah, very
interesting. Понимаешь по-русски?
Конечно, говорю по-русски.
Хорошо.
Нет. That's interesting. What attracted you to Russian?
I don't know. It was, I think I was about 14, maybe 13 even. Mm. And I decided I want to do something different after school. So I just bought a few books, started learning it myself. And then I had this neighbor. I was living in Edinburgh in Scotland at
okay.
the time. with my mom and my sister. And I had this neighbor from Moscow who somehow knew that I was interested in Russian. And she gave me a little copy of Yevgeny Onegin, which is Pushkin's greatest sort of composition.
And, so she gave it to you in Russian?
In Russian. In
really?
Russian.
Wow. And, so you had to figure it out. She's like, here's the book, figure it out.
Yeah. And,
Russian?
She was Russian, yeah. She was from Moscow. Wow. And I started reading this book and I sort of fell in love.
Of course she did, yeah. Probably a pretty woman, right? No?
Let me tell you something.
She was an elderly woman.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I was 14.
I'm sorry. I thought it was like, because... Oh, yeah, you were 14. Okay, I forgot that. I was thinking...
But then I had my experiences in Russian later.
I'm
spent 6 months in St. Petersburg.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful, St. Petersburg.
It's a wonderful city.
Really? What would you describe St. Petersburg in, like, three words, you'd say?
I have no idea.
Three words? Let him just describe it in a few sentences.
It's
a few sentences.
Like a dream.
Like a dream.
Really?
Like a dream in three words, yes. Wow. I had a very strange feeling. I mean, I was there during the winter... And it was a very, very strange feeling. I loved it. It was sort of a city that is characterized by this sort of dreamlike melancholy or sadness.
Wow.
That is really, I really like it. I think I have some connection with the Russians.
Well, obviously, if you picked Russian as your major, right?
Well, dreamlike melancholy is beautiful. A nice way to put it.
Yeah, very nice, very nice.
You see, something about Siberia, Michelangelo.
And about Siberia, of course, because then I'm using my Russian because my mom has been doing loads of research about shamanism in Siberia.
Uh-huh.
And I've been her interpreter in the last few years. So we've been traveling throughout southern Siberia, interviewing shamans. We've done some documentaries. My mom has written some books about shamanism in Siberia. So we've been... working on this sort
very
of
nice. So you guys work together and stuff. How cool is that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like my mom is at home not doing anything. I can't do anything with her, you know.
Yeah.
But no,
you
I
get
mean,
to
look,
travel with your mom.
But my mom is older and sick. That's not fair. But no, still, I mean, you guys are very fortunate. You probably have always been very close, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any other children?
Yes, I have a daughter who's studying here in LA. Yes.
Very
she's
nice.
She studies business.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, very nice. So she came to the right place, right?
Yeah.
Where's she going to school here?
At the Marymount University.
Marymount, it's a very good school.
Yes.
Yeah,
happy
wow.
To be here.
Very nice. So you guys' native language is Italian, right?
Yes.
You live in the Italian portion of Switzerland.
Yes.
Now, Switzerland, they speak German and French and English and Italian, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a lot of languages to know, you know?
That is
you
a
thought
lot of
Canada
languages.
Was bad with two, but no, I mean, wow. That's pretty good. So what's that like? I mean, I'm picturing Switzerland. I'm thinking like paradise, right? Or do you live in a big city?
No, in a small city.
A big city can be paradise too. Well,
no, because I'm thinking like, you know, ranches and cows and green.
Right.
And snow-peaked mountains.
Yes,
and stuff.
Yes.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah?
It's a very small village in the mountains.
Really?
We live in a woods.
And my mom is always complaining during the summer that the cow bells don't make us sleep in the night. So that's the problem.
That's a major problem, right? Yeah, move to the big city. You'll see what noise is. Wow. Very cool. So you have a nice family and everything. And so you grew up in that village pretty much? I mean, did you grow up there too?
No, I grew up in Italy. I'm Italian.
And then you moved.
I moved in Switzerland more than 20 years ago.
Okay.
And
he was born
in Switzerland, yes.
Oh, wow, very nice. So you're able to travel through Europe no problem, right? All the EU and all that stuff. It just, there's no like, it's like in the United States now, you know, the EU, right? You just go from one place to another. You don't need passports. You don't need any of that, right?
Yes, but Switzerland is not in Europe.
Oh,
Switzerland is not in the EU.
Not part of the EU?
No.
Oh,
not part
wow,
of the
I
EU.
Didn't realize that. Wow.
So
how come?
Move,
do you know?
Move freely, but we're still
You still have to go through a border,
yeah, so
right?
We've got customs, yeah.
I see. Wow, that's interesting, you see? Because almost the rest of Europe is like, you don't need that, right? Very interesting. Okay, well, Selena, let's get a little bit into what you do, why you're here. You wrote a book called The Mother Mantra, The Ancient Shamanic Yoga of Non-Duality. Now, that's a mouthful. And I don't know what I just read, but maybe you should explain it to me, okay? Because these are new concepts to me. First of all, tell us what non-duality means.
Non-duality is a state of consciousness in which we are beyond all the opposites, good and bad, right and wrong.
So duality is the fact that in life things have the opposites to them, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and everything has two aspects, one visible and one invisible. When you enter a non-dual state of consciousness, you can be aware of both, visible and invisible. And so maybe you can, or for sure you can know things better because you consider both aspects, both sides of things.
Right.
And entering a non-duality state of consciousness is like entering a state of ecstasy.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Ecstasy.
Can you give me like an example of like a like a real life event where you enter, where you experience it in the duality? Like what does it mean, like in like a real life example, you know?
For example, illness,
yes.
A disease. Usually people are so scared of illness and disease and... But when you enter a non-dual state of consciousness, you realize that diseases are not so bad. They are not enemies. They are something like allies for us because they help us to understand better why we are here and what we are. But if you are in a dual state of consciousness, bad and good, wrong and right, you can't see that because you judge and you can't include. You see, a non-dual state of consciousness is an inclusive state of consciousness. Mm. And so it's a very peaceful state of consciousness.
I see. So that's interesting. So how do you get into that state?
Oh.
How do you get there?
How do you enter the state you want?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, you know, with other states, you smoke a joint or something, you know, and you're like in another state of mind, but in another consciousness. But tell us how you get to non-duality, though.
This is why shamanism and shamanic yoga exist, to give us practices and tools to enter the state of consciousness. And for instance, through the mother mantra, we can enter the state of consciousness because a mantra is a vibration, and the mother mantra is a so powerful vibration that can... Takes you to this state of consciousness.
Right.
Only repeating the mantra you can enter this state
really?
Of consciousness.
Really?
Yes,
wow.
Really.
It sounds like tiring, though, to keep saying the same thing all the time. But that's very interesting, you know, because so you sort of like meditate and you keep saying the same thing over and over and that puts you in another state of mind?
Yes.
How was that discovered? I mean, how did people figure it out that if you do that, it happens? Do you know?
You have to try. Only through experience you can reach that. Only through experience you have to try it.
What is the routine? Like, what is the... To do that, is it a morning routine? Is like, what do you... Do you wake up and do it? Is it...
You see, you have a little by little to change your thinking method. Because everything you do during the day could be in a non-dual state of consciousness. For instance, eating. When you eat something, you carry a life, be it an apple, a carrot, or something else. You carry a life between one side to another of a great threshold.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody can do that without taking the journey himself.
Right.
So, but people usually are not aware of what they are doing when they eat. when they get asleep, when they wake up, when they talk to someone, when they pass from a state of happiness, for instance, into a state of anxiety or depression, they take a journey. And if you are aware of both sides, the visible and invisible, you can live in in a state of ecstasy. You can live in an amplified state of consciousness, you see. Otherwise, you are victim of judgment, and this leads you to depression and anxiety and all the bad things that you can encounter.
How would you recommend? I know, you know, I know a lot of people that are fighting depression and fighting anxiety, especially in these days, you know, where everybody's anxious about something, you know, in our life. Is there like a tip or something you can give them, like, on that spot, like, for our listeners when they get to the state of being anxious or something like that, like a tip you can give them from this. This practice.
Yes, try to think in a different way. Try to think that your depression is something like a god or goddess, a spirit. You see, for the ancients, everything were gods and goddesses, spirits. And so we lost the ability to see the invisible side of things and of events. For the ancients, events were entities, spirits, gods, goddesses. So if you can see your depression, your anxiety as a spirit with you, you can talk to. You can talk to it.
Talk to it.
Talk to it and ask it, why are you here?
Right.
How can I help you? And how can you help me?
Right. So you should look at it as an ally when you get depressed or when you get ill and stuff. And that is something what to teach you or to make you aware of something in your life. What are they there for? Why do you have to get sick? Why do you have to be depressed in order to get to that point?
It's a calling.
Yeah.
It's a calling because you see, human beings want power. they want having control
over nature.
Over nature, over themselves, over everything. And nature is calling us. Soul is calling us. Hey, please give me back the power. Because it doesn't belong to you.
Right. So we're just little ants down here. You know, nobody can see us from space anyway.
Yeah.
And we think we're like, you know, we can change everything and blow up this planet or whatever. But
I think. So. Sorry.
No. Go on.
I feel like I'm very connected with what you're saying. You know, a lot of times I would tell my friends, you know, when they would get depressed or they would get sad, and I said, you know, I treat my soul sometimes like a child. So if it's nagging me, it wants something. So I was like, okay, what do you want? He goes, I want to go play something. I want you to give me an experience that's not rational, not for money, not rent, not success. All these definitions that we created as human beings, like success and all these things. I don't want that. I want you to just take me to do something fun for me.
Yeah, something fun, because life is a joke. It's a divine joke.
Yes, life is a joke.
Yeah, well, it is, you know. What do you think about all this? Get closer so we can hear you. Now, obviously, your mom is very involved in this. It's part of her life. Were you exposed to this kind of thinking early on in your life, or is it something that took for you to mature maybe a little bit?
It definitely took some time to mature. I've always been exposed to it, but I've always distanced myself when I was at school. And then I started on a very different path. I was very interested in classics, in ancient Greek and Latin when I started university. That's why I was sort of doing a double degree in Russian and classics. Uh-huh. And studying ancient philosophy, I unawares almost ended up to what my mom was doing, because in the end this sort of shamanic traditions which find their origins in animistic traditions are spread throughout the world. Here, you can, in a certain sense, make sense of them through different lenses. What Plato is talking about in his sort of dualism of form and matter is very similar to what my mom describes with this image of the great threshold, which comes from shamanism instead. And then, you know, knowing Russian, as we've said, working with her in Siberia, interviewing shamans, I've realized that there are some very strong points of contact between not only shamanism, but then Buddhist and tantric traditions in Tibet, in Sri Lanka. I've been to many places since I was very small with my mom.
What is like you set up on a journey to go interview all these shamans? Like, do you have some crazy wild story with one of the shamans just to get them to interview or something like that?
Probably a lot of them.
Loads of stories.
Lots of stories.
Yeah, because it's a different culture, right? I mean, you come in, you're different from everybody else. Now, when you go to like where the shamans are and stuff, right? Is this like, what am I picturing? Like a whole village of people that are like that, like really enlightened spiritually? What is it like? Or is there like one person in the tribe or something in the village? How does it work?
Normally the shaman is just one person. I mean, there's very few shamans. Then it's true that there are places where there are more, places where there are less. It's something that a particular person inherits from their grandfathers or their great-grandfathers.
And then they're like teachers. Is that what they are? I mean, what's a shaman really? Explain it to us.
I mean, shaman, I think, comes from a Tungus word, which is one of the Siberian Turkic languages, which means he who knows. So it's a person who knows. It's more of a person who sees, because he's sort of a bridge between spirits and our world, which is the middle world, and the sort of underworld of demons.
I see.
Normally, I mean, it's very interesting because shamans, in almost all of Siberian cultures, become shamans after having undergone what they call shamanic illness. Which is very similar to what my mum was saying earlier, in the sense that in animistic traditions, illness, disease, especially psychological illness, is interpreted, as my mum said, as a calling, as the call to change something in your life, but not something negative. Right. It is something very positive. It is something that unites us with the divine. So all sorts of disabilities, depression, psychological traumas and illnesses are interpreted as the mark of someone who has a sort of special connection or access with the divine. In the end.
So, I mean, that kind of like makes sense. It sounds logical, but let me ask you this. Okay, we just had a... Because that's what I'm trying to understand, and maybe you can explain it to me in those terms, right? I don't know if I told you, but a few weeks ago, it's actually exactly a month ago, my niece, who's 34, got hit by a car, and both her legs were crushed. Yeah, and then they had to amputate one now.
I don't mean to
bring you down, but the thing is, this is life-changing for her, obviously, right?
Yeah.
I mean, your life changes completely. Tell me something. How do you deal with something like that? I mean, because everybody's trying to make sense of it all. Why did it happen, you know? And you're saying that this is like your ally when we have things. But actually, a lot of people would probably lose hope, you know? I mean, I probably would like still be in shock.
Yeah.
And she's very strong, though. She's started to accept it. So from your perspective, tell me. Explain this to me.
You see, from the mind perspective, everything happens because has a cause. Human being filter everything through the lens of the law of cause and effect, which is a mechanical law and which is not the law of karma, because the law of karma is the law of action and reaction and is on poetic basis. But the law of cause and effect is only on rational and mechanical basis. Things doesn't happen because they have causes. Thing happens because they have a goal. You see? So when something like that happen, I suggest to try to get in tune with the goal. How one can get in tune with the goal? Crossing the great threshold and try to give up everything and say, not what I want, but what you want. Okay, I give up everything. I know only one thing. I know that I don't know. I don't know anything. So I give up myself. I give myself. I give myself. I surrender. I surrender completely. And please show me the goal. Show me the goal. And if you stay in this safe state, and if you are able to love again, even if something very bad happened, you still able to love, and you still able to have faith, then you will receive the answer for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so, that's very powerful.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Well, you know, that's the thing. We're talking about something very serious.
Yes.
So, yeah, so it has to be serious and powerful. But, so you're saying that doesn't have to be a reason, because we think of things as cause and effect. People might think, oh, maybe she did something, or maybe, you know, whatever. But, you know, you never know. Everything could be like a test here, you know, and maybe that was in her script from the beginning, you know. If she didn't take a certain path, that would happen, and then this would wake her up or something, right? I mean, am I along the right lines here?
Yes. No, no, you're right. She's a storyteller in her way. A shaman is a storyteller because life is a myth. Every one of us plays a myth in life.
Uh-huh.
And this myth took origin in a very in a time of the beginning. In Latin we say in illo tempore, a time of the beginning.
Okay.
And
like the Big Bang, when the universe started.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
A time of the beginning,
right,
which is not a human time, is a God time.
Right.
And
which is 14 billion years from what we know.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And yeah, we continuously repeating a myth here in our life.
Like in cycles.
Yeah, like a cycle, yes. And we can awaken when we see the myth that we are playing. In order to see the myth that we are playing, we have to go back at the time of the beginning.
Yeah.
And the only chance we have to go back is to enter a different state of consciousness, is to go beyond our mind, because our mind is the cage.
Right.
Our mind is the limit. We have to go beyond. If we go beyond, we can see. So sometimes life is a shock.
Yes.
But this shock is a strong calling. Hey.
Right. To shake you and make you see.
Yes. Hey, come out. Come out of a prison.
Right.
Awake yourself, come out of a prison.
Yeah.
So everything at the end is love.
Yeah.
Because the calling is a form of love.
Yeah, that's true.
And many faith are they're based on the losing control part.
Oh.
Even in Judaism,
right,
you need to
control.
First of all to give up control because you don't know, to
right,
know that you don't know. I feel like that base is key, because our mind sometimes, because the mind wants rational things and it wants control, and it's so programmed to thinking in the terms that society has defined.
Right, like you said, cause and effect is one of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Cause and effect is one. There's many more. It is right. Used like a cage sometimes. So if you wanna, it's kind of like if you're in the cup, you have to go outside of the cup to see what's going on in
right,
the cup.
Right.
Because when you're in the mix.
Yeah,
you're like caged. Is that like,
yes,
a good?
Yes, definitely. You are in a cage, and you keep the soul in the cage. You keep spirits, God, goddesses in the cage, and they become very angry because of that. You see.
Who's they? Who becomes angry?
The gods, goddesses, the spirits, the soul, the world soul becomes very angry because you still continue to keep it in the cage of rationality because you want to keep the control, you want to keep the power.
Mm. Yeah.
So you talk about gods and goddesses. How many are there? You don't believe in like just one god?
Yes, I believe in one god.
Okay,
but
so what's
one
god?
Is a multiple, and
okay.
Multiple is one.
Right.
This is the different thinking method which I was talking about before.
Right,
a different thinking method is a is a thinking method in which one is a multiple and multiple is one, and things don't happen because they have causes, but because they have an end. You see, it's a different perspective. And because world is in the eye of the beholder, if you change your perspective, you change world,
right.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like they say, the God is in everything.
Right.
So it's one, but it's in everything.
Right. Very interesting. Are you... Like, were you raised in a certain religion, like Christian or something?
Yeah, yes.
And are you still Christian? Or have you changed more like how you identify with religion?
Christianity is so deep in every one of us that we can't change. Because Christianity is not just a stuff of belief in something. Christianity shaped
the culture.
Our way of being, our way of living, you see. Even thinking that I have a heart here and God here and a liver here is a thing of Christianism or Christianity. For shamans, organs are ancestors. So
what does that mean?
Ancestors?
And like, what do you mean the organs are ancestors? Like,
If you talk to a shaman who lives in the steppes of Siberia,
I can picture it right now. You know, that's what I'm saying. They were going to these shamans. They live in crazy places to get to. That's like quite a journey to have.
Yeah, well, yeah, Siberia. I mean,
it doesn't get
crazier than that.
There's shamans in India too, right?
Everywhere.
I think I met one in a temple, but I don't know if they were a shaman or a baba. You know, like Indian. But I don't know, so I don't want to say. But continue, please.
Well, shamanism is everywhere here in our Western civilization.
Yeah.
Organs are ancestors because materialism and objectivity are consequences of our way of thinking.
Right.
Which is a very which is shaped by Christianity.
Yeah.
And so in a different paradigm, when you think at your heart, you can think at your ability to love, not necessary to a material stuff, you see. When you think at your brain, you can think at your ability to think and not as necessarily to a material object.
Right.
When you think at your gut, you can think at your ability to having emotion and not necessarily to a material organ or to a material object, you see.
Yeah.
And all these abilities are shaped by your ancestors, you see.
Okay.
And so
those that came before you.
Yes. And so if you have trouble to your heart or to your brain or your gut, a shaman take care of you by pacifying your ancestors.
Wow. So they must be like restless or something, right? And you need to satisfy them. Now, Michelangelo, I was going to ask, that's your name, right, by the way? Did you know his name is Michelangelo?
That's nice.
What a cooler name than that, right? People must always, but eventually, do people shorten your name?
Well, I mean, I told him it's Miki. It's me.
Okay, that's a lot easier. But why?
I mean, like Michelangelo.
Yeah, everybody loves that a lot better, you know? I mean, it stands for so much. I always have to say,
it's like the Renaissance painter, and people like the turtle ninja.
I guess it depends on the generation, right? Oh my, that's funny. Wow. So, very interesting stuff. So, I did want to ask you, though, so this involves a lot of philosophy, too, obviously, and that's your connection to philosophy and everything. What... With all these degrees, so you're getting your master's now, right?
Yes.
Do you also, and you work with your mom and stuff? So that takes up a lot of time, right?
I mean,
but doing a master's, will you be able to travel? Will that allow you to travel more?
That's the idea. I mean, I've chosen anthropology next year because, as I was saying, my sort of academic path slowly led me to what my mom is doing.
Right.
And then last year, after spending my 6 months in St. Petersburg, I had the chance to work at the Swiss embassy in Kazakhstan for 6 months. And I was working on the human rights... sort of in the human rights section of the embassy. And I had the chance to meet many shamans as well, because there's a problem in Kazakhstan, like all of Central Asia nowadays, of sort of repression of religious minorities on the sort of the pretext of extremism and fighting against Islamic extremism. And sort of the shamanic community in certain areas is also being threatened, you could say. And I had some very fascinating meetings in some very remote areas of the desert and the steppe in Kazakhstan. And I decided that a research project in this sort of situation of shamanism, animism, Sufism even in Central Asia might be interesting. So the idea is of traveling to Central Asia once again to carry out some research.
Yeah. So you definitely don't belong in a four-wall office with a computer in front of you. That's not what you like to do. Very cool, you see. So you're a very interesting family. You said your daughter is studying here. What is she studying, did you tell us?
Business.
Oh, business, that's right, yeah. And is she going to stay here, you think, or is she going to take that experience and go back?
No, I don't know. I don't have any idea.
No plans. So the mother mantra, explain what the book is really about. You know, I mean, I saw there's a lot of concepts here, like reabsorption, right?
Yeah.
What is that? What's reabsorption?
Reabsorption is exactly what I was telling before.
Uh-huh.
Everything is like in a dream. Everything is myth. And this myth is an image, an illusion, like a mirage, like a dream.
Like the Matrix? Have you seen the movie The Matrix?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it's not real. I mean, it's not objective. It's not material. It's not made by its own substance. Mm. Like Buddhists say, everything is a samsara. Samsara will is the wheel of illusions, you see. And so withdrawal or reabsorb projections means taking all those objects, people, and events that we have met in the course of our life back to their original nature, which is image, dream, projections, you see.
Yeah.
In order to be not victim of events, one should realize that events are not objectives. They are entity spirits.
Right.
They are not substantial, I mean.
Like it's on a continuum. It's just a certain portion of the whole journey, right?
Yeah.
That's what events are. One event after another. That's like the continuity of life. That's how it seems to me. What you're saying, right? An event is not like a one-time thing.
Yes, the continuity is another illusion from my point
really?
Of view.
Really? Oh,
yes,
okay.
Because Everything happens now. Everything happens right now.
Okay, so I said the total opposite of what she's saying. Okay, that's what I learned from friggin' 45 minutes in here. I'm saying the exact opposite.
No, it's not the exact opposite. But it takes time sometimes. It takes time to learn a whole lot.
Listen, for me to be spiritual, it's going to take a little more than just 45 minutes, you know? But it's fascinating stuff, you know? I mean, you've invested a lifetime, it seems, into pursuing different consciousness, looking at your life differently, at other people's lives differently and stuff. You feel it's improved your life quite a bit?
Yes, a lot.
Really?
How many years have you practiced this?
Since I was 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
All my life, yes. Wow. Because when I was 19, I went to Sri Lanka and I met my first teacher, who was a shamanism and a yoga teacher. Mm. Ah. And so I was initiated to the path of shamanic yoga when I was 19.
Yeah.
And so it's all my life that I'm doing that.
Really? So that changed your life. You went there to Sri Lanka, you met a shaman, and that changed your life forever.
Forever, yes. Wow. Saved my life, saved my life.
How?
Because when I was a teenager, I had a lot of trouble.
Ah, yeah,
like a teenager trouble. Teenagers are troubled people, you know? Like we talked about it the other time when you were 18. You're like the worst version of yourself.
That's true.
You want to just, you think you know everything and you want to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, that's true. And how did you get to Sri Lanka at 19? What was the attraction there?
Because I wanted to go away. Doesn't matter where.
As far as you can.
You look for yourself or you're trying to find yourself, or you lost yourself, or you're just trying to get lost.
Right, exactly. Lose yourself somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
And it's usually in Asia.
You're 19 years old, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to go away. And so I met my great teacher, and I think he saved my life.
Yeah, you were fortunate that
Always
way.
Say that in the teens, you're 19, 20s, early 20s, you just want to lose yourself, and then you spend all these years trying to find it back.
That's true.
Trying to find yourself.
Yeah.
Or maybe you didn't have to find. We didn't have to find ourselves if we didn't get lost when we were 19, right?
Exactly.
But I get it. It's for sure.
Well, the book is The Mother Mantra and the Ancient Shamanic Yoga of Non-Duality. It's a mouthful, but I think today at least we understood what we're talking about. And there's more, like, I have more desire to read the book now, because now I'm like, I'm familiar with the concepts, with the ideas and everything. So I wish you a lot of success with the book. Have you written other books too?
Yes, I wrote more than 20 books.
Wow.
They are only in Italian, someone in French or another language. Only one has been translated in English published here in US. Only this one.
Very nice. Here, I'm holding it to the camera so you guys can see. And tell people how they can find you. You have a website, right?
Yeah.
And tell them what it is.
Yes, so, SeleneCalloniWilliams.com.
Okay. Or you can just Google the name, right? And they'll find you and everything.
Yes, in Facebook they can find me. Yes, I also have a YouTube channel. Uh-huh. I have some videos also in English, videos of flowing sequences. The flowing sequences are yoga postures done in sequence with a special breath control, which allow you to enter the imaginal forest, which is another way to call the non-duality state of consciousness.
I don't know about you, but I want to enter the imaginable forest. I'm already like, how can I go?
And does it improve your sex life too, going into that forest? I need to know.
Sex life is another important question to define, because sexuality is a creative energy and we have not wasted. We have to we have to join the real union, which is the union with the divine.
Right. But in the meantime, we'll just take perfect tens, you know, and we'll have sex with them until we get to the divine. But anyway, that's just that's the situation here in the 21st century. Michelangelo, thank you to you as well. Get close to the mic. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
I want to wish you continued success in whatever it is that you do. You're a very smart man. I respect educated people. I mean, he's going to Cambridge, for crying out loud.
Yes, that's...
You know,
that's,
we're not talking like even UCLA, I mean, which is pretty big. But you're going to Cambridge. So, and you have to be good to get into there. So I know that, and I have a lot of respect for you as well as for you. You've invested a lifetime of work and a lot of thinking, obviously, and you have a lot of messages for people, and that's amazing, you know. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. You guys are visiting, right? So you're going back to Switzerland soon?
Yes, next week.
Oh, wow. I'm dying to go to Switzerland. You see, now you got me all wanting to go there.
To Switzerland into the imaginable forest.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Aura, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, I mean, that neon pink is like totally blinding me. I don't know what color your fingernails are or anything, but...
It balances.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.